Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on the River Network with Big Willie 105.5 and River Talk. It's almost as good as a second cup of coffee.
Download the River Network app and then click Big Willie 105.5. You get Dimitri live and dangerously local Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And then on Thursdays and Fridays, it's Dimitri Encore and Dangerously Local on the River Talk Radio Network, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290 and the Sturdy 1430, the audio path of totality. We are expecting Lou Vargo to join us shortly, Director of Wheeling, Ohio County Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency. My guest, my very special guest here in studio, Kara Elieta, saying that he is probably doing the update right now.
Debriefing for the day, yeah.
Okay, so whenever he is done with that, I mean, obviously we have to be very flexible here because, I mean, this tragedy is just unbelievable. Kara is with the Triadelphia Fire Department. She is the Assistant Fire Chief and EMS Director and has been kind enough to join us here today to talk about this. And really, you're downplaying the fact that your own home was destroyed.
I think I'm not downplaying it. I may be blocking it out right now.
Do you have flood insurance?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Okay. Oh, yes. Yes.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. I got that back in 2004 because we had what everybody thought was a big deal, which was absolutely nothing compared to what we're doing right now. So I think a lot of the folks in Triadelphia after that got their flood insurance.
Your vehicle was on fire or something?
No, my vehicle is totaled. It was at the station and it got picked up by swift water and slammed into an electric pole. Oh. My daughter's vehicle was at the house. It also got picked up by swift water and came through our back fence is sitting in the yard right now. So
tell me about the old German bridge.
Germantown Bridge.
Yes. Excuse me. Yes.
So Germantown Bridge is the little bridge on 40 right before Zambito Flooring. That sits there, and the creek runs underneath of it, and then it goes behind our firehouse. And early on, you know, when we had all of the rescue calls, there were some on the far end of, on the other side of that bridge, and they had swift water across that road pretty quickly. So I tried to respond to that. We weren't aware of just quite how bad it was yet. So I went there, and Wheeling Fire Swift Water Team was there as well, and they were kind of stuck in the same boats. We were on the bridge, and while I was sitting on the bridge, I looked over and I saw two pickup trucks go under the bridge.
When you say go under, they were driven or they
they got floated away and they got sucked under the bridge, which I thought at that point made a horrible noise, and I was like, wow, this is really bad. And then just a couple minutes later, like a mobile home went under the bridge.
Oh my God.
And of course, so then the bridge moved and it was very noisy and we all got off of the bridge at that point. But I had never seen anything like that. I didn't know those things would fit under a bridge. And then, of course, my next thought was, this stuff is going to clog up this bridge.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen?
What could happen if it got clogged?
Well, I mean, if it gets clogged and it comes over the street, then that water with no outlet is worse than the water having an outlet. So,
which is Big Wheeling Creek.
Sorry, my fault. Yeah. And there was a home that sat right there. And now I noticed when I was through the area yesterday that house is completely gone. All that's left is the concrete foundation.
Are the people okay?
Yes, he is fine. Oh. So, but it just, I had never seen entire, buildings go under a bridge like that. It was crazy. So
where are you going to stay? Now your home is gone.
Well, I have been extremely fortunate. I am up at the Comfort Inn up at the Highlands, and I'm very thankful to the manager, Kaylee. She's been very helpful. I had a camper offered to me by my boss, Steve Jenkins, at Health Team. I'm very thankful.
Health Team?
Health Team is Ambulance Service, transport critical care. So that is where I work. So he has volunteered to help. Red also in Wheeling offered to assist us with living. So myself and my daughter. So we've been very fortunate. I know there are people that are not as fortunate, but everybody is doing everything they can to try to make sure everybody's accommodated.
Tell me about Dave Patterson.
So Dave is my fire chief, and Dave, while he was out doing all of this for 2 days, lost the bridge to his home. So he cannot get home. So for 2 days, he has been relentlessly in the town, you know, taking care of his people, trying to do everything he can with no clothes.
No clothes?
He has no clothes. He has no, everything is at his house. So he has nothing. And the bridge but to
he's
his
wearing
house.
He's wearing clothes, though.
He is. Well, yes. Dave is wearing clothes.
Good
we can't
Lord.
Have him running around in just bunker gear.
Well, yeah.
So.
So he's wearing the same clothes that he's had for a few days.
He's wearing the same clothes.
Okay, how do we get this man clothes?
Well, I mean,
how tall is he? How big is he? What size?
He's a little guy. So he's a 2X. He's a short guy, I should say. He's a 2X shirt, a 46, 48 pants, 9.5, 10 shoes. So,
ladies and gentlemen, if you see Dave Patterson, would you please?
Please make him wear some clothes.
Clothe this man, please. Would you please? Jeez.
Yeah, so that's what he's been doing. So, you know, but he's at the briefing right now, and he just keeps going. Today, I believe the plan is to start working on the fire station. We haven't touched it yet because, you know, the first 2 days were very busy with rescues, search and rescue, things that we had a structure fire in the middle of, literally in the middle of the flooding. So we have,
what? How do you have a fire in the middle of a flood?
Structure fire. Well, because things were getting knocked over, if there were ignition sources. So yes, in the middle of all of this on the first night, huge structure fire. It went on for hours. It was on the other side of Germantown Bridge, the far side. And it was a fireworks truck and then a building. I believe it was a storage building because it was all metal. But yes, it caught on fire, so we couldn't get to it for quite a while because of the swift water. By the time we got there, you know, it was pretty well underway, but we did have to contend with that as well. So we had to pull resources to put out the fire there. So Bethany
was.
Let me see if I understand
this. You volunteer to do all
of
this.
Oh, yeah, we do. We're insane.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes, of course.
You don't get paid one penny to save our lives and to risk your life to save our lives.
No, sir.
My word.
So, yeah. So that was like the cherry on top of the evening right there was that we had this gigantic structure fire to deal with as well.
Oh, my God. What was the most heart-wrenching thing that you saw with this terrible flood?
I did not directly visualize any of the rescues. So as far as seeing anything, I think just the displacement of people, and just people not knowing, you know, where to go or what to do for me. For us, it's a lot about, you know, what you hear, because we all have radio contact the whole time. So you know when they find someone, you know what kind of situation is going on.
Was there one moment, something that you heard that you'll probably never forget?
Oh, they found, you know, when they found one of the bodies yesterday, no, the first night, you know, we were there and I heard the crew from Wheeling Fire, they were getting a ride down the road, but they came back in and they said, you guys are going to have to get back out. We found a body. And they said, you know how old? And they said, young. And, you know, you don't like to hear that. So,
was it the 3-year-old?
It was not. It was another young person. So,
how do you keep your sanity?
I think that for most of us that are first responders, I think your need and your drive to do good outweighs the rough stuff, is what I think. And I think that we all just kind of take that as part of the job, but we know that in the long run, the good that we do and the things that we do are far worth, you know, those bad things that happen.
Does this remind you of Shadyside and Ouija?
There's been a lot of talk about that, that there's a strong comparison just because of the time frame, how quickly things escalated, and then the aftermath, because they had a very similar situation there. So yes, that was one of the first comparisons that was drawn when all of this started, and then we started to find out that we had missing people, and we were hearing about people getting carried off in vehicles. That was definitely one of the first things that kind of came to everyone's mind.
You're with the Triadelphia Fire Department. You're the assistant chief, EMS. How much did we learn from Shadyside and Ouija, that tragedy that we applied today?
I think a good bit. You know, Swiftwater is not something to be taken lightly. So we, you know, we didn't have any rescuers that attempted to do anything they weren't trained to do. I feel like everybody mobilized pretty quickly. And I think that for the most part, we were as prepared as we could be for sheltering, moving, rescuing. So I feel like there were lessons learned, and I feel like we did as well as we could have.
Yeah. I must say that I was pleasantly surprised, stunned, in awe of the work that was done by all of the people involved in the rescuing, the city of Wheeling and the volunteer fire departments and the state. It seemed to be so well coordinated.
Yes.
And the communications with Phil Stahl and the other, I mean, it was just, you know, look, I'm a big critic of politicians and all the stupid stuff that they do in the bioswales, this, that, and the other, but,
yeah,
fair's fair.
Yeah,
when I
absolutely
saw all of this on TV and on social media and reading this, that, and the other, I was going, my God, these people are really good.
Yeah.
I mean, they are really honest to God good, and for me to say that, but it's the truth.
Right. If it is what it is. So you give people their dues when they deserve
absolutely
them, and you let them know when they don't.
Oh, absolutely. And they deserve everything.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, is Lou Vargo the main person? Is he the ultimate decision maker, or is it somebody from the state, or is it somebody else?
So the buck stops with Lou.
It does stop
it
with Lou.
It stops with Lou. He's the guy. He is the coordinator. He is the financial guy. He is the stat guy. You know, that, and that is his job, and Lou takes his job very seriously. And Tony as well, Tony Campbell, like his number two guy, is they're, you know, they are on their game, and you know, he the buck stops at Lou. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, they really did magnificent work, and I'm also a harsh critic of the local media, but I've got to say that, well, you probably haven't seen it because you were out working.
Yeah.
I thought Seven had done and continues to do really good job.
Good.
I mean, a really, really good job. I was like stunned. It's like, my God, they're doing everything right.
Perfect.
Lots of information. And all of those volunteers is at Respects there, or where?
So, yeah, Command Post was at Respects. There were supplies being dropped off. Now, today, that's different. Things are being dropped off at Guntree and the Armory. I think maybe that they may have overwhelmed Respects parking lot a little bit there.
I'm going to talk with you more about that and some other thoughts that you have. Live exclusive interview with Kara Elietta, the Triadelphia Fire Department. Amazing story, and just more in a bit.